The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judea, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord will be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
First of all, good morning. It is good to be with you. My name is Father Jason Mitchell. I'm Father Mike's brother. And normally I'm up in Erie, Pennsylvania. I teach at Gannon University. And I'm really happy to be with you and to celebrate this message of Advent. Hope is here. Christ is our hope. And one of the things I'd like to do is kind of go over our Advent journey, those messages that you've received all throughout this very, very special time preparing for the great celebration of Christmas. As I said, I'm a professor and I teach philosophy and theology. So I get really excited when I hear the word meaning. That was the first Sunday of Advent. In fact, as a philosophy professor, that's really the question we deal with. You know, where have we come from? Who am I? Where am I going? What is the meaning and purpose of life? Sometimes in class, you can hear a pin drop when we deal with this theme. You know, you launch the question, what is the meaning, the purpose of life? There's an immediate interest in that question. And so as a philosopher, they've given various responses. You know, maybe the meaning of life is pleasure. Maybe we're like animals. Or maybe the meaning of life is money, possessions. Or could it be honor and power? And one of the things I love to do in philosophy is to take each one of those responses and just destroy it. You know, so for example, if somebody says, you know, money is the goal of life. I was like, well, how much money do you want? And I remember one student, she said, $100 million. I said, what would you do with it? Well, I'd buy a yacht, I'd buy this, I'd buy that. I was like, why? Well, because then I can have all my friends and family together. Well, you see, money is just a means to something else. There's something better, something greater. It can't be the ultimate meaning of life. Or honor. I like pointing out there was a swimmer in the 1980s. He was an Olympiad, and he won 7 gold medals. Now, some of you know who it is. You saw him on a Wheaties box back in the 80s. But none of my students know who it is. So like, guess what? You can win 7 gold medals in an Olympiad, and within a generation, you'll be forgotten. So life, I mean, it can't just be about honor. What is life about? And so the philosophers, they come up with responses like, well, knowledge of God. That's kind of what, as far as they get, Plato and Aristotle. Another class I teach is theology. And so we kind of go over the theology of religions. And each one of the major religions of the world, they've tried to answer that question. What is the meaning, the purpose of life? And none of them say, you know, pleasure, money, or possessions, or honor. They have more noble goals. And so if you're a Buddhist, you're trying to overcome suffering through not desiring anything. If you're a Hindu, you're trying to break the cycle of reincarnation. You're trying to liberate yourself. If you're a Muslim, it's about obedience, submission to the will of God. Now, each one of those actually contains an element of truth. We do want to achieve that liberation from suffering. We don't want to be tearful and pain and suffering in our lives. We want to be liberated from that. And it is important to heed, to obey the word of God. But Christianity proposes something even deeper, that the meaning and purpose of life is love. God himself is love. We were made for love. And that was what gives deep meaning and purpose to our lives. Jesus himself, he said, the entire law and the prophets, it's based off of this. Love of God above all things and love of our neighbor as ourselves. And love oftentimes means sacrificing ourselves for the good of those around us, giving of ourselves unconditionally so that others may achieve the good for which they were made. And so those are kind of those answers to the question of the meaning of life. And that answer that we're made for eternal life, that we're made for love, that gives us hope. It points to a tremendous transcendent goal beyond this life. And so we need to live our life in such a way that we can attain that goal. Now, the second week, your word was healing. It's like, okay, we got that transcendent goal. I want to be with God and my family for all eternity in a communion of love. Well, how do I get there? And one of the problems that the Bible introduces is we've sinned. We're wounded. And if somebody is wounded, they need to be healed. I remember one of my students, they said the reason why they did not want to become a Christian was because they didn't like the idea of having to be saved. They wanted to save themselves. And so as a Christian, it takes a tremendous act of humility to recognize that we need a Savior, that we have wounds that need to be healed. Now, it's not just about physical healing. You know, a doctor is tremendous at doing that, but we need that spiritual healing of our soul. And as you come into church, you see symbols of that healing. As you cross, you know, through the door and you see the baptismal fount, or you see the oil of the sick there, or if you go past the confessionals, all of those are symbols, sacraments of healing, wiping away our sins, cleansing us, and allowing us with God's grace to begin anew. That's a tremendous healing that takes place here at the church. So we have to recognize, you know, what are my wounds? As you gather as a family together this Christmas, what are those wounds in our family that need to be healed? To talk about them, to understand them, and to seek to overcome them. Your third word was belonging. So we're hopeful because we have meaning in our life. We're hopeful because God is able to heal us. Then we're also hopeful because we're not in this alone. We belong to something greater than ourselves. And as Father Richard said last week, you don't belong to just something, an institution. You belong to someone. You belong to the body of Christ. And as I said earlier in another homily, I live 9 hours away, but all of you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we belong to this body, this church, this temple of the Holy Spirit. We're united in mind and heart. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is a tremendous thing. Today's word, this fourth week of Advent, is to be found. We're hopeful because we're not lost. Whenever you experience that of being lost somewhere, not knowing where you are and which direction to go, it has that kind of dread, you know, where do I do? How do I get to where I want to go? And so if we do feel lost, know that God knows where you're at. Know that He can give you the direction in your life. And here, as we come week after week and we hear the Word of God, that is a tremendous direction for our life, how to live our life and how to get to our heavenly home. And so that is also a great source of hope. I think we see all four of those aspects in Mary's life. Mary had a very clear idea of who she was and what her purpose in life was. She declares, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the Immaculate Conception. I am full of grace." And she knows that her mission is to be the mother of the Messiah. And so her life has meaning and purpose. As well, too, she seeks not necessarily to be healed. You know, she was preserved from sin by a tremendous grace. But she's kind of a mother, a source of healing for others. You know, for example, when she's at the wedding of Cana, she realizes they have no wine. She's more attentive to the needs of others. And of course, she didn't blame Jesus, you know, like, "Jesus, they have no wine because you brought your, you know, drunken fishermen here and they drank all the wine." But Jesus responds and he makes 920 bottles of wine. I think I calculated it once. And so it's a simple gesture, but interceding for others, to seek to heal, to be a source of charity for others. We see that in Mary's life. As well, too, Mary has that sense of belonging. When Jesus ascends to heaven, what is she doing? She's gathering the disciples there in the upper room. They're praying with one mind and one heart. They have that sense of belonging. Yes, they were fearful, waiting for the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit rushes upon them, they're able to proclaim God's message, and they're able to bring men and women into the family of God. And lastly, she is found. She knows the direction in her life. She knows what steps to take in order to overcome, in order to achieve the goal for which she was made. And so she can be a tremendous model for us. So I think all of us, you know, as we finish off this year, as we gather as a family, we can reflect. Do I understand what the meaning and purpose of my life is? And when you fix on that goal, when you see that goal, what are the steps I need to take to get there? The opposite of hope is oftentimes a type of despair or depression. And one of the causes of depression isn't so much what has happened in the past. It's not seeing how the future can be better. And so you can ask yourself today, what steps can I take concretely today to make my life better? And take another step closer to heaven. What are the wounds in my family that need to be healed? What are the wounds in my own soul that need to be forgiven? How can I create that sense of belonging here at St. Gabriel's in my family? How can I be found by God? And so as you look through the bulletin, you know, there's that program called Alpha. And one of the key lines is about meaning in your life. Maybe dedicate those hours, those sessions, to learning about what life is about and how to place God at the center of your lives. That is a tremendous opportunity. You have a great thing here at St. Gabriel's. As I travel around, you know, the country into different churches, this is something very, very special. And so how can I be more engaged in my faith? How can I live out my faith to the full? How can I truly give that deep meaning to my life and achieve the goal, the end, for which I was made?